ever think perfectly following the rules in a business agreement guarantees you're in the clear legally. Thing again, today we're diving into a fascinating case. Bushi v. Sage Healthcare, Key LLC, out of Idaho. It really throws a curveball into the relationship between operating agreements and the ethical obligations of business partners. It makes you consider what it truly means to be in business with someone, doesn't it?
It really does. In this case, it revolves around a professional limited liability company, or PLLC. As you know, that's a really common structure, particularly for professionals like doctors, lawyers.
Hey, accountants.
Exactly. Where the owners are also providing the services. And the backbone of any LLC, especially a PLLC, is that operating agreement. It's the rule book, you know, laying out how the business is run, who's responsible for what, and importantly, what happens when disagreements inevitably pop up.
Exactly. And in this situation, we have Sage Health. Healthcare, PLLC, which was member managed. That's pretty key because it means the four equal owners, including Dr. Stephen Bushi, were directly involved in running the show.
No separate management layer.
Nope. These individuals were right there making the decisions together.
And well, as often happens when people work closely, tensions started. Simmering, let's say, between Dr. Bushi and the other three members. We see a couple of specific things that likely fed into this. First, there was the issue of Dr. Bushi taking a personal loan from the company's line of credit.
Without the others, okay.
Correct. Without getting the other members' approval. That kind of action, well, it can certainly sow some seeds of distrust among partners.
Absolutely. And then there was another layer of complexity. Some concerns were raised by the other members about Dr. Bushi's relationship with a nurse practitioner at Sage.
Now, it's important to clarify, right? He wasn't her supervisor.
Right. He wasn't in a supervisory role over her, but it still became a point of friction. It was definitely discussed among the owners.
So with all this tension building, the other members took, well, a pretty decisive step. They amended their operating agreement. Specifically, they changed the rules about how a member could be involuntarily dissociated, basically kicked out. The new rule allowed for expulsion with a vote of all members except the one being expelled.
Convenient.
Perhaps predictably, given circumstances, yeah. They then used this newly amended provision to expel Dr. Bushi.
Which naturally led to a lawsuit. Dr. Bushi filed suit, alleging several breaches, most notably breach of fiduciary duty, which is, you know, a central point we really need to unpack, and also breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
Initially,
the lower court sided with the other members. They granted them summary judgment. Basically, the court felt the facts didn't really raise enough of a genuine dispute to need to full trial. They thought the law was clear enough to rule for the defendants.
But of course, that wasn't the end of the story, was it?
Not at all. Dr. Bushi appealed to the Idaho Supreme Court. This is where it gets really interesting, especially for law students listening. The core question the Supreme Court tackled, and what we're focusing on, is this. Can members of an LLC be held liable for violating their ethical obligations, those fiduciary duties, even if they technically follow the procedures in their own operating agreement? It's a really compelling look at that intersection of contract law and, well, ethics.
Okay, so let's dig into that Idaho Supreme Court analysis, starting with those fiduciary duties. You mentioned them. In a member-managed LLC like Sage, the members owe these duties to each other. Can you elaborate a bit? What exactly are we talking about?
For sure. So at their core, fiduciary duties are these ethical and legal obligations. They require people in positions of trust, like business partners, to act in the best interests of the people they owe the duty to. The Idaho Supreme Court highlighted three key ones here: loyalty, care, and good faith.
Right. Loyalty means putting the company and your partners above your own personal gain. Care means making reasonably informed, prudent decisions. And good faith is about acting honestly, no hidden agendas.
Exactly. And this is where the Idaho Supreme Court laid down a really critical principle. They basically said, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, that just ticking the boxes in the operating agreement doesn't automatically protect you if your actions were driven by bad faith for personal gain. That seems to be the absolute heart of their ruling.
It really is. The court recognized, look, the operating agreement is the primary contract. It sets out rights and responsibilities, but they also firmly stated that the law imposes these underlying fiduciary duties that exist kind of separately from the specific words in the agreement.
So even if the other members followed their brand new expulsion procedure perfectly.
Right. Even if they followed the amended agreement to the letter when they voted out Dr. Bushi, the Supreme Court was asking a deeper question. Why did they do it? Was it genuinely in Sage Healthcare's best interest? Or was it driven by bad faith, maybe a desire for personal enrichment at Dr. Bushi's expense?
And let's bring that loan back in, Dr. Bushi's personal loan. Now, as we said, the Supreme Court wasn't primarily focused on whether taking the loan broke a specific rule in the agreement, though it obviously damaged the relationship.
Right.
Instead, the court's scrutiny was on whether the expulsion itself, even though it followed the new procedure, was actually motivated by a desire of the remaining members to maybe, you know, boost their own financial position now that Dr. Bushi was gone.
Precisely. Imagine the remaining members maybe saw Bushi leaving as a chance to get a bigger slice of the pie, you know, future profits. If they then use that amended agreement just as a legal tool to achieve that self-serving goal, even if the vote was procedurally sound under the new rules, that underlying motivation could still be a breach of their fiduciary duty of loyalty.
So you can't just hide behind the contract language to justify acting purely for your own benefit against your partners.
Exactly. You just can't. What this case tells us, and what's crucial for future lawyers, is that business relationships, even with detailed agreements, operate within this framework of implied ethical duties. You can't just contract them away. The court here showed it's willing to look past the mere words on the page if there's evidence of bad faith.
Okay, now, Bushi also argued that the other members breached the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. How did the Idaho Supreme Court see that claim?
Yeah, and this is a really important distinction they made. The court actually disagreed with Bushi on this specific point. They clarified that this implied covenant good faith and fair dealing is directly tied to the specific terms already in the agreement. Essentially, it means parties have to act honestly and reasonably when they're carrying out their obligations under the existing contract. It doesn't invent new obligations or expand what they agreed to. Think of it like if the agreement says provide monthly reports, the implied covenant means those reports need to be accurate and complete, not, you know, intentionally misleading, even if they technically meet the definition of report.
So just to make sure I've got this, unlike fiduciary duties, which the law imposes anyway, the implied covenant is about acting honestly when performing the duties already defined within the four corners of the operating agreement itself.
Exactly right. The court concluded Bushi couldn't point to a specific existing term in the operating agreement that the others had violated in bad faith. While their reasons for expelling him were under scrutiny for fiduciary duty breach, the action of expulsion itself didn't violate a specific contract term in a way that triggered the implied covenant. Does that make sense?
Got it. Yes, that clears up the difference nicely. Now, I also saw something about a concurring opinion from Justice Jones. What was his point?
Yeah, it's interesting. Not everyone was perfectly aligned. Justice Jones agreed with the main decision, sending the fiduciary duty claim back down, but he offered a slightly more, maybe cautious view. He noted that, in his opinion, Dr. Bushi's fiduciary duty claim barely survived summary judgment, meaning he felt the evidence Bushi presented to show the others acted in bad faith for financial gain was, well, maybe a bit thin.
Which, you know, kind of subtly points back to that potential weakness in Bushi's case, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Considering he himself had taken that unauthorized company loan. It feels like his own actions might have made it harder to argue the others had purely improper motives.
That's a really sharp observation. While the court didn't toss out Bushi's claim, Justice Jones's concurrence is a good reminder that proving bad faith, that subjective intent can be a tough legal climb. Especially when maybe there are questionable actions on both sides. It really highlights you need solid, compelling evidence for that kind of claim.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. What are the big practical lessons here? The key takeaways for our listeners, especially those heading into legal practice.
The number one takeaway, the thing you really need to internalize, is that an operating agreement, while absolutely critical, isn't like a magic shield for unethical behavior. Just because you can technically do something according to the agreement's rules doesn't mean you're off the hook regarding your fundamental legal and ethical duties to your partners.
Right. And understanding that distinction is vital. It's the difference between just following the contract clauses versus truly upholding those fiduciary duties the law implies. One's about the written rules, the other's about acting with real good faith, loyalty, and keeping the partner's best interests at heart.
And when we talk about bad faith, it often comes down to looking at the intent behind the actions. Did the other members have a legitimate business reason for amending the agreement and kicking Bushi out? Or was it mostly driven by the chance for personal financial gain at his expense, even if they followed the new agreement's steps? The Supreme Court sending it back suggests they thought there was enough question about the real motivation to need a closer look at the facts.
There was also that point about attorney fees. The lower court had initially awarded them to the other members. What happened with that on appeal?
Yes, the Idaho Supreme Court vacated or canceled that award. It's more procedural, but still important. Usually the winner of a case can get the loser to pay their attorney fees. But here, since the Supreme Court sent the key fiduciary duty claim back for more proceedings, there wasn't a clear prevailing party yet.
The fight wasn't over?
Exactly. The case was still live. And who ultimately won that fiduciary duty claim could decide who finally gets deemed the winner and gets those fees. It just shows the legal battle continued and that fiduciary duty claim was still a major unresolved piece.
So for future lawyers, Bushi v. Sage Healthcare really offers a critical lesson. Knowing the letter of the law in business deals is just step one, isn't it?
Just the beginning.
Recognizing and actually upholding the spirit of partnership, those core fiduciary responsibilities, that's what truly protects clients and keeps business relationships sound. It makes you think, what kind of evidence would you need to really prove bad faith here? It's rarely black and white, I imagine.
Absolutely not. It requires a really nuanced understanding, not just of the contract, but of the ethical foundation those business relationships are built on.
So, wrapping up our deep dive on Bushi v. Sage Healthcare, the main point to carry forward is, simply following the technical rules of a business agreement doesn't automatically excuse you from your basic fiduciary duties. The courts will look past the contract's text to examine the real motivations and ethical behavior involved.
This case definitely just scratches the surface of how complex this interplay between agreements and ethics can be. We really encourage everyone listening to maybe dig into the full case text, consider its implications for different business setups, different partner dynamics. It's a valuable reminder that the strongest business agreements aren't just legally precise, they're built on a solid foundation of mutual trust and, crucially, good faith.